Have you heard this island before? How do you say it? Molokai? Well, this is island actually is part of the state of Hawaii. And many years ago, this island is a place, there's a colony of lepers living in this island. I checked the map. I think I found the locations. It's around this area, the colony. So you know that leprosy is a very hard to, it's impossible to cure, maybe 100 years ago. So when you have a lepers, when you become a leper, you have, you know, the government will try to ship you away from the society. So they stay in that colony for those people. So there was a time you had about 700 lepers living in that colony. And there was in 1873, there was a Catholic priest, and he was brave enough to go to that island and went to this colony and tried to serve these lepers. So when he got there, he found out that not only they were physically sick, they were actually emotionally, spiritually lonely, and they were sick in all these areas. And they there's a lot of problems in the colony too, not just because they were sick. There was a lot of drunkenness, immorality, abuse, overall sense of hopelessness. There was no hope because they could not be healed. So it's a very dark place. And this priest went there, and he tried to help them to answer one question. Where is God in the midst of all these terrible things happening in this colony? So he was there for a period of time. And as I said, there were 700 lepers. So after he got there, he tried to build a hospital, and then he started to build a church for them. And then beside this church, there were a lot of coffins. A lot of people died at the end. And he tried to answer that question, where is God in the midst of all this painful experience? And when he was having a service every Sunday, and then when he welcomed people to come in, he would say, my dear brothers. And then in 1885, after 12 years, he was there when he was age 45. One day he changed his greeting. He said, my fellow lepers, I am one of you now. So he became a leper. And then, you know what, the result. He also died there. So this is the colony. And the only way he thought to answer the question, where is God in the midst of all this painful experience? The answer was to live among all these lepers. And I think it's very similar to Jesus who came in the flesh to live among us. So today I have 3 points to share with you. John chapter 1. And the first one I want to share with you is eternal God entered time and space. If you turn to John chapter 1, verse 1, it's very familiar verses to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The verb was, of course, is giving us a sense of a permanent conditions. The Word was God. Was with God. And then in verse 14, if you look down into verse 14, verse 14 is a very important verse referring to incarnation. God became man. He took on human form. So in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. If you look at verse 14, the Word became flesh. It involves a change of state. Okay, verse 1, it says God, the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it changed. It became, it took on the flesh, and God became human. And he lived among us. The word live, meaning dwell temporary. It's a tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. If you look at the original language, that means he built a tent living among us. And this is God who entered time and space. If you look at the Old Testament, if you read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, you will see that in the past, God showed us, God revealed himself through his works, through this creation, and through his word. But in the later time, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He came to live among us so that we can see the glory of God. A couple of weeks ago, I think we always watch news. Toronto is one of the cities that we have a lot of homeless people. Almost every year, when you are in the wintertime, you watch news every day, well, maybe every day, there must be a piece of news talking about, you know, especially when it's very cold. Then the reporter will talk about people, you know, homeless, living in the street, and they will say, oh, they're living, you know, such a poor condition, they should move to the shelter, but they never like it because it's a dangerous place to go. So they always live in the street, even minus 20, 30, always. Once a year, at least, there's a news talk about these homeless people. And we live in Canada. We know how cold it can be, right? When you go out to the street or go to the parking lot, you feel cold. But you have a downfield on, you know, three or four layers of, you know, clothing. You have a hoods on, everything. Then you say, I feel cold. But do you really understand what cold means? Do I really understand what cold means until the freezing rain storm comes? And then my house, we lost power, right? How many of your house lost power? Wow. So some of you enjoy power throughout the storm, right? So you are blessed. And then the last night we stayed in our house, it was when we woke up, it was 4 degrees in the house. And I truly understand what it means to living in the street. Not literally living in the street, but the feelings I got. I have a blanket on. I have to put something over my head to cover my head so that it won't lose so much heat, because I could not sleep. And then I have to put something cover my head so that I can breathe, only show my face, and then I could go to sleep. But I didn't sleep well that night. It was so cold. And I finally understood what it means to living in the street. At least I got some sense living in the street. It was very cold. You could not sleep well. And it was just terrible. And that was the last night we stayed there. And then we moved to James' house for 2 nights. But at least I got the feeling. I understand a little bit what it means to living in the cold. And Jesus came so that he understand us much better. And this is why he came. In John chapter 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus said that. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Wow, this is a huge claim. None of us could make that such a claim except Jesus. Because in verse 14, the only Son. If you look at the Greek, the only one and only Son actually means literally one of a kind. He is one of a kind, only, unique. He is truly the Son of God. He is God so that he can reveal to us who God really is. No others can do that. And only Jesus. And only Jesus Christ, when he came, he revealed who God really is to us. You see, Jesus doesn't just teach us about the glory of God. He doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't just demonstrate what it means, you know, the righteousness of God. Jesus is the glory of God, and he came to reveal God and his glory to all humanity. And this is the book of John trying to tell us. Eternal God took on the human form and lived among us. Someone was eternal. and was bound by space and time. And a lot of physicists, if you read some scientific books these days, whether you believe it or not, they said that they discovered there are 10 dimensions in the universe. And we only have 4, right? You know what four dimensions? Height, width. Time is another space dimension. Oh, no, forget about it. So anyway, we have 4 dimensions. But the scientists tell us that they discovered there were at least 10 dimensions. So you can imagine, you know, God lived outside these 4 dimensions, and then he came and bound himself in this place. Just like one day I would really like to try, you know, you just crawl on the floor like an ant for a day. I think I will appreciate what they are looking at and what kind of smell they get when they were walking, crawling on the floor. Well, this is what Jesus did. This is what God did. He loved us. And Jesus is entering this space. And I just cannot imagine how could he do it and why he's doing that. If not because of love, I don't understand why he's doing this. Point two. Oh, there's a verse, a saying, I think, worth looking at it. Jesus' incarnation was, well, it's very complicated, well, to me at least, he who never began to be, but eternally exists, and who continued to be what he eternally was, began to be what he eternally was not. Full of words in my mouth. Do you get it? It's just wonderful. You know, language is so wonderful to express something so abstract. Jesus' incarnation was he who never began to be. That means he was eternal. But eternally exists, and who continued to be what he eternally was, began to be what he eternally was not. He became human. 100% human. Second point I want to share with you is the journey. God himself entered the journey. God himself entered the journey. Just imagine, you know, just a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, we celebrate Christmas. We saw those stories. You know, he came, he was born in a manger, and he was just a little baby. He came to save you and me. We all know the stories. And then when he came, the book of John tells us that the world is going to reject him. He knew that and he still comes. Will you go to someone who you know that he or she is going to reject you? Will you go to the house, you know, people inside the house is going to kick you out? And he did. He came, even though he knew that the world was going to reject him, but he still came. He came so that he can show us the love of God. He was born as a human being so that he understands you and me much better, just like the experience we had in different aspects of in our lives. The freezing rainstorm, it was just one example. Crawling on the floor, you might be understand, you know, and a little bit better. All these things just give us a sense of what it means to be in another dimensions. And Jesus came and he lived among us, and then he eventually died on the cross. And it was just amazing to show us the love of God. If you look at Genesis, we all know that the reason he came is because the relationship was broken because of sin, and we became enemy of God. And that was the reason he came and showed us the love of God, and then he revealed to us who God really was. God was faithful, and Jesus is eternal. He took on this human form so that he can show us what it means. He understands. There's a story about a third grade classroom. You went in there, imagine you go into that classroom. You see a nine-year-old kid sitting at his desk, and all of a sudden, he found some water underneath his chair. And his pen were wet. He think his heart is going to stop because he cannot possibly imagine, you know, how this happened. It never happened before, and this is the first time. He was 9 years old. He thought, oh my God, you know, all those reactions. He said, well, if the guys find out, they're going to laugh at him for the rest of his life. If the girls find out, they will never talk to him again. So this boy, he did one thing is very a lot of us might do. He bowed his head and he started to pray. But dear God, this is an emergency. I need help now. 5 minutes from now, I'm dead meat. And he looked up from his prayer and then he saw the teacher standing there. From the look of her face, this little boy, Tom, understood that the teacher already discovered what happened. And the teacher was about to, you know, ask him to get up and get out and everybody would know what happened. And there's another guy came, this guy's named Tom. This Tom can carry a gold fish bowl. It's filled with water. So Tom trips in front of the teacher and they pour the water into this boy's pants. So everybody said, wow, you know what's happening? And they were just going crazy. And the teacher took this boy up and took him out to the classroom. And this boy who wet his pants and said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And he was supposed to be laughed at, but now he got sympathy because someone poured water in his pants. So the teacher took him out, gave him something to wear on, and then everybody was just trying to clean up the floor. Well, if you were teachers, you know what happened, right? So everybody was just so upset with this Tom who disturbed everybody, and he made a mess, and they have to clean up. At the end of the day, you know, when they were waiting for bus, and this boy approached Tom and said something like that, Tom, you did that on purpose, didn't you? And Tom whispered back, I wet my pants once too. So he understood the embarrassment that would come to this boy because he wet his pants once too. So he tried to rescue his friend. Well, the story is very simple. Jesus had become human and fully entered and participated with us and lived our life with us. He understands everything we have gone through. He understands what it means to be thirsty, to be hungry, to be cold, and to be dirty, to be rejected. He knew that all. But in verse 14, Jesus not only came, he understands us. He said he is full of grace and truth. If you look at verse 18, please turn to your Bible, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God of one and only who is at the Father's side has made him known. Jesus come and show us who God really is. Full of grace and truth. In verse 16 and 17 and 18. For the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law has given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus came not only show us the love of God, show us he understand what he's going through, and then he's full of grace and truth. If you look at these verses 34, chapter Exodus, especially verse 6, we believe that the law also gives us truth and grace. But only in Jesus we see the fullness of his truth and grace. And the Greek word tells us that this grace is keep coming. I love this. The Greek said So in the Greek, this grace in place of grace, full of grace, it literally means grace in place of grace. You will never run out, brothers and sisters. When you are struggling, when I am struggling, you say, my friends, my family, even my spouse, my mom, my dad will not completely understand how I go through, what I go through. Jesus' grace is always sufficient. He's always there to help you. Now, it brings to the last point I want to share with you today. The topic is it possible? Jesus, who is 100% God and who is 100% man, he has entered time and space. He has journeyed with us. My question I want to ask you today and ask myself, is it possible to follow someone like that? Is it possible to follow someone like Jesus, who was perfect in every way? He was 100% God and he was 100% man. Is it possible for you and for me to follow him? We always talk about following Jesus, right? In the church, the topic we always talk about, you know, in our mind, in our head, in our conversation, in our meetings, you know, we want light to grow like Jesus Christ. We want to be like Jesus Christ. We want to follow him. We want to be his disciples. We want to be, you know, just faithful to him. My question I want to ask you and myself is it possible to follow someone like that? Is it possible? You want to tell us, Dave? It's possible. Any more questions? Not questions. Any more answers? I'm asking any questions. Very good answer, by the way. Is it possible to follow someone like Jesus Christ? Do we like to follow someone we admire? We like to have mentors. We like to have someone who can teach us, who can show us, you know, what it means to be a Christian or what it means to be disciples. So we look up to certain people as our, you know, mentors, someone we can follow, look up to. So Jesus standing in front of you today, if he is standing in front of you today, will you dare to say, Jesus, can I follow you? Logically, I think my answer would be impossible to follow someone like Jesus. Logically. Because it's simply impossible to follow someone who is perfect, truly perfect. But like Dave said, you know, he's not asking us to be perfect. But I think there's someone can help us. If there's no sense of following, it's impossible to follow Jesus. Jesus will not ask someone to follow him. You know, follow me and I will make you fisher of men. Right there. He already said it. Follow me. So it's possible. And there are two groups of people that can help us. First, you know who can help us to follow Jesus? Please turn to John chapter 14. Just nearby. It's not far away. John chapter 14. If you read verses 16 and 17, Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. Someone will come after him. If you look at verse 16 and 17, let's read it together. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him, because it neither see him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So the first person can help us to follow Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Another counselor, you heard that before, another meaning the same kind. So it's just like Jesus. God, the Spirit, will help us to follow Jesus. So when you say, I want to follow Jesus, I want you to understand that you need to depend and rely on the Holy Spirit to do so. It's impossible to follow someone like Jesus without help. And the Spirit would help us because he lives within us. And he will continue to remind us. We don't have time. Verses 25 to 26, he will show us, he will remind us what Jesus has taught us. So the truth is always come when he reminds us in our heads, in our soul. And the second group, who are these people? The first is the Spirit. The second, as I said, someone you admire, other Christians. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul is encouraging Timothy. You heard this before. 2 Timothy 2:2. Verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Discipleships. Following someone so that you can learn. It's already in the scriptures. Paul tells us to follow him, to learn from him, because he's following Jesus. So how can we follow Jesus? Is it possible to be his followers? My suggestion to you, actually from the scriptures, is we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need to have someone that we can look up to, and other disciples, and other Christians, so that we can learn from that person. So my answer is, it is possible to follow Jesus. Even though he was perfect, he was 100% man, and the scary thing, at the same time, he was 100% God. But brothers and sisters, this is what disciples means. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. If you think you can do it yourself, or just learning to follow somebody, it's not going to work. You need to depend on the Holy Spirit, and you need to find someone that you can look up to and follow and learn from. In these few years, we're going to do that in NCAC. I hope someone with the one that you can look up to and you can learn from him or her, but at the same time, and I pray you will learn and do all these things with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he is living in you, and he will remind you what Jesus has taught us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we give you thanks for your promise of sending another counselor who actually already came and lived within us. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful truth that God became man. And he revealed the glory of God and show us who God really is. Lord, as we look at the life of Jesus Christ, sometimes we wonder, is it possible to follow someone like him? He was so perfect, he was a creator, and at the same time, he was a perfect human being. But Lord, we thank you for the fact that you encourage us, you actually call us to follow you. But we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need someone to guide us, to help us as we walk through this journey. Just like when you were here on earth, you were walking with 12 disciples. Today, even though you are in heaven, we have brothers and sisters who can show us what it means to be your disciples. Lord, we pray that each one of us will be able to find someone that we can look up to, we can learn from. But the most important thing is we need to depend on the Holy Spirit, because he is the ultimate teacher, someone we can follow, and someone who can show us how to follow Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.